This episode brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever find yourself playing the budgeting game? Shifting a little money here, a little there, and hoping it all works out? Well, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive, you can get a better budgeter and potentially lower your insurance bill too. You tell Progressive what you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll help find you options within your budget. Try it today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Not available in all states.
Out here, there's no one way of doing things. No unwritten rules. And no shortage of adventure. Because out here, the only requirement is having fun. Bank of America invites kids 6 to 18 to golf with us. For a limited time, sign them up for a free one-year membership, giving them access to discounted tee times at thousands of courses. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/golfwithus. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America. Restrictions apply. See bfa.com/golfwithus for complete details. Copyright 2025, Bank of America Corporation.
I'm living my best life. Yeah, yeah.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Here's the other surprising part.
With guest host, Brian Weber.
Yeah, big shoes to fill. Eisen's a legend.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. The Rich Eisen Show.
Do you know who I am? I'm a guy on television. I have my own show.
And now, sitting in for Rich, here's Brian Weber.
Welcome to the program. Always an honor to sit in for Rich and the fellas on what is a monumental week for Mr. Eisen, getting ready to host the NFL draft yet again, coming up in less than 48 hours from now in Green Bay. We will honor the spirit of the program. This is, of course, the NFL show of record, so we'll hit on the draft hard over the next 3 hours together. Just two guests along the way. One is a leading draft analyst. I'll give you my thoughts on what could happen with the quarterbacks when we get to names coming off the board in Wisconsin on Thursday in 20 minutes. NBA takes center stage with the playoffs rolling along. Like Mr. Eisen, I am a recovering New Yorker. I will not allow that to provide East Coast bias and will spare you a 20-minute monologue about the misery of being a Knicks fan, because they're not worthy of that level of attention. I will not abdicate my responsibilities. I watched the entire Grizzly game last night from MSG. How about a novel concept? Why not give the Pistons a degree of credit? After all, there was another team on the floor last night at the world's most famous arena, winning their first playoff game since 2008. So we'll give you our takeaways on how things came together last night in Manhattan. The late game, much more entertaining. LA's quote-unquote other team got the win they needed on the road in Denver after they gagged away a 15-point lead in Game 1, done in by 20 costly turnovers in that game that they should have won. Last night, an entirely different story, and we'll pose the question, and I'm told, given where we are situated today, our Regal Studios in Southern California, and the myriad of affiliates along the way, and I'm Brian Weber, in for Rich Eisen, and phone calls are a possibility, 844-204-7424. Now, if you've endured me in this time slot, on this network, in a couple different branding exercises, I go back to the CBS Sports Radio days, yes, I have been picking up the bat phone every time it has hit the right digits, sending me directly to Gotham City. That was a long way of saying I'm Batman, I think. Since 2017 in this time slot, I believe the total number of calls I've taken is less than 10. But I'm in a good frame of mind, and I'm willing to have the conversation with you at 844-204-7424. And the winning formula that I believe as a veteran guest host that's been established a long time is leave our number one wide open for the possibility of a call. Let me be completely candid. The best way to get at me any show that I'm lucky enough to contribute to is on the X platform. My handle is BW Weber, Weber with two B's. But in addition to all the NBA thoughts we're going to have, and we will pose the question, can Kawhi Leonard finally stay healthy, is what we saw last night with a brilliant performance, devouring Joker and the Nuggets sustainable as Kawhi looking like vintage Kawhi going up for 39 points. We'll give you our thoughts on those games. NFL draft analysis coming up in 20 minutes. Much more NFL on the way when we get to hour number two of the program. I mentioned we're going to have a leading NFL draft analyst join us. That'll be Nick Baumgartner from The Athletic. We'll talk about who could be the second quarterback coming off the board. There's other NFL news to get to around the league. OTAs create the possibility of dissecting teams that are relevant. And Brock Purdy did show up today in the San Francisco Bay Area this morning, as I'm situated on the West Coast, as we figured he would. He is a good dude, after all, and not that personalities should matter. But part of me believes that Brock Purdy, while he and his representation are getting every dollar they can, and according to reports, the floor is $50 million a year, which is a good number considering he once upon a time was Mr. Irrelevant. But I never got the notion that Brock was going to stay away. And even if he did, remember, these are voluntary, quote-unquote, OTAs. But the sign that he arrived in Santa Clara should foreshadow the deal getting done. Final hour of the program. Beyond all the hoops I'm about to tip off momentarily, we'll take you across the association with a good friend of mine, Eric Pincus, who covers the NBA, national writer for Bleacher Report. So, I have stalled enough because I don't want to talk about the Knicks more than they deserve. And I understand, especially as the fill-in hack, and I'm Brian Weber in for Rich. Hop aboard at 844-204-7424. Hit me up on the X platform. That is BW Weber, Weber with two B's. I should play the hits. And there's nothing wrong with the East Coast lean. But in all transparency, if you watch that game, pick the adjective that you think best suits what the Knicks did again after they had a horrendous time until the fourth quarter in game one against a much-improved Pistons team. This was a Detroit team that won 14 freaking games last year. First team in NBA history to triple their win output. Got all the way up to 44. And yeah, often when the Pistons are on the floor, there's not a lot of style points for them either. I'm not saying they're the bad boys, but if you track the NBA, and I know that's a concern for a lot of you because the NBA has become a league that a good portion of you don't pay attention to until Christmas, but now you're not going to because the NFL's hijacked that holiday. There's another chunk of you that slide in after the All-Star break, and the vast majority of you, quote-unquote, casuals, you're not riding NBA TV every night. You're tuning in for the 40 postseason games in 40 nights and maybe are not aware that the Pistons win because they can muck it up. Bill Laimbeer ain't walking through that door, but the Pistons aren't afraid to play physical slash dirty basketball at times if they have to because they have changed the culture of that franchise. Not saying it's the hot tub time machine. Rick Mahorn isn't punching anybody, but they play a physical brand of basketball in addition to the excellence of Cade Cunningham, who, again, for folks who are not tracking every dribble in the NBA regular season, demonstrated why under the bright lights at MSG last night with 33 points and 12 rebounds. He was the number one overall pick a handful of years ago. So there are a lot of positives to focus on when we're talking about the Detroit side of the ledger. And they stole home court from the Knicks after blowing a monumental chance to get that done in game one. Remember, the Knicks don't win that game if they don't reel off the 21-zip run. So watching last night, and maybe it's a function of recency bias or maybe my latent Nick fandom from years ago. And it was great to see Bernard King courtside. And I was dialing up the memories of Bernard going off against the Pistons old school 84 in the best of five format. Unstoppable, burying Detroit at the Cobo Arena, Joe Louis Arena in the Silverdome. Unfortunately, the Knicks don't have Bernard King. And that's really the issue for this team. Because while objectively, it is certainly a sign that the franchise that has been so down for so long, primarily because of the inept ownership of the Dolan family. And I used to work for Guitar Jimmy back in the day when he owned a cable property on the West Coast. I'll save those stories for my podcast, Behind the Scenes with B-Web. And if you're wondering who I am, I'm Brian Weber, in for Rich. Hop aboard, 844-204-7424, or slide over to the X platform. That is B.W. Weber, Weber with two B's, in less than 15 minutes, the latest on the NFL draft. There are reports surfacing today that not only are the Giants willing to trade out of the number 3 overall pick, now Cleveland apparently is fielding a lot of incoming calls at number 2. Does that have any significance? We'll get there coming up. But remember, the Knicks last year were a galvanizing story, and irrespective if you care about New York basketball, and I'm not going to do the chant, Marky Mark is not filling in today. If you think that there's too much New York conversation in general, I'm with you. That's why I left that town in 1987 and never looked back. The world is better when you have a broader geographic perspective, especially in sports, to analyze things. But at the same time, when the Knicks are relevant, the NBA has a different vibe. So they go back-to-back with 50-win seasons. I think they made the proper calculus and did the internal math last year that they had maxed out with the roster as it was constructed. Julius Randle's only going to take you so far. I have no problem with trying to be creative with roster construction. My issue at the time, and I said it filling in for Rich during the summer, and I'll reiterate it, and now I'm cherry picking because he just handed me content. I didn't think that Karl Anthony Towns was the guy to make that kind of big swing to pick up. Now, I didn't foreshadow last summer when the deal went down that he would absolutely disappear in a high-leverage situation. If you didn't watch the game last night, you didn't see anything from Cat or miss anything from Cat because he didn't do anything in the fourth quarter. He finished the game with just 10 points, only took 3 shots in the entire second half, did not put up a single shot in the fourth quarter in which he played every minute. So it's unfair to highlight that and make that the crux of my argument, but the central point when it comes to the Knicks is this. Even if they survive in advance and beat Detroit, and that's not a foregone conclusion because the whole point of what the Knicks did in the offseason to get Cat and pick up Mikal Bridges was to give Jalen Brunson, who has maximized his ability as a former second-round pick, he needed more help. Well, what happened last night? He needed more help. It's the same story with the Knicks. And you got Tom Thibodeau complaining postgame about the free throw disparity. That strikes me as a club that is gripping and panicking a bit. And here's the one thing I don't want to hear. The Knicks are tired. And I was watching some of the talking head shows, and of course the Knicks are going to lead, given the East Coast slant to everything in sports media. I heard a couple former players talking about, well, maybe Cat is tired because of all the minutes he logged during the regular season. Well, this is the same conversation we have every year about a Tom Thibodeau team because nobody asks more of his players than Thibodeau. And you had the kerfuffle on a Big Word Tuesday earlier in the year when Mikal Bridges went public with his thoughts that he was logging too many minutes, and that got cleaned up internally. But it's the same story with the Knicks over and over again. Brunson gives you everything he has, 34 in game one, 37 last night, but looked like he hit the wall late in the game because he is mortal after all, and the Knicks had opportunities to put that game away, unable to seal things, and now things get much more interesting moving forward. I'm not in the prediction business. The more salient point is, let's say the Knicks actually figure out how to get this series wrapped up. Do you have any degree of confidence this team is going anywhere past the second round? Because, again, if you have not been tracking the regular season, and I can't blame you, the NFL crushes everything in its path. The only reason I am here is that I used to work with Rich at NFL Network. So I'm not being myopic and just trying to zag when the world is zigging. But the Knicks during this season, in contrast to last year, when it felt like they were a franchise on the rise, making that run all the way to Game 7 against the Pacers. Head-to-head this year, the Knicks against the Celtics, the Cavs, and the Pacers, 0-10. You throw in OKC, winless against the Thunder, because virtually nobody has touched the Thunder, the team we should be talking much more about. So, Knicks fan, I am empathetic towards you. I used to be one of you, but you have to be a realist with your analysis. This is exactly who this team is, and let's give a vastly improved Pistons team a whole lot of credit for hanging tough, because they could have collapsed mentally when that game became a one-possession game late in the fourth and maybe had moments of doubt, a young team making their first playoff run together. It's a reflection of their tenacity. And I think J.B. Bickerstaff is a solid coach. Didn't think he should have gotten blown out in Cleveland, although hard to argue with what Kenny Atkinson has done since taking over that job. I'm Brian Weber, in for Rich Eisen, 844-204-7424. In 15 minutes, we get to the NFL draft. Coming up a half hour from now, the latest on Brock Purdy. And I will talk just a little bit of Aaron Rodgers. I don't want to. It's an FCC guideline until he makes his quote-unquote decision, which is looking more and more like Pittsburgh or a lot of ayahuasca and enjoying his retirement. Let's make the move to the Clippers. And dare I say, look out, and I can't believe these words are coming out of my mouth, because as somebody who used to work for the Clippers flagship radio station here in Los Angeles, speaking of having seen this movie before, do I have to go through the whole recitation of who the Clippers are and not even get into the bigotry of Donald Sterling? I'm just talking about between the lines. The franchise whose moniker should be "We Blow 3-1 Playoff Series Leads," who's only been to one conference final, going all the way back to their days in Buffalo. Yes, I'm 144 years old to remember that. Let's just try to be grounded in the present. If you did maybe parachute in during the last couple weeks of the regular season to see who would be exiled to the play-in tournament, you probably noticed the Clippers got red hot, won 9 of their last 10, and everything changed over, say, the last 20 games, because maybe it was a early Easter miracle. I don't know the confluence of circumstances, but oh my goodness, and I'm not trying to be someone who's blaspheming here after 8 years of Catholic school, but Kawhi Leonard has risen. Now, we got to pump the brakes, because it is not a stretch to say Kawhi is more likely to get hurt than he is to show up the way he did again last night and the way he did down the stretch, because you are what you consistently do. And unfortunately, despite all the load management and doing all that work on the side, remember, and I have a little bit of sourcing inside the Clipper organization, I'm not trying to break any news here, that would be a tough job to monetize. Hey, what do you do? I'm single. Who'd want to spend time with me more than you have to on the radio? Let's say I went on a date and I, within the first 30 seconds, was asked my profession. I said, I'm a Clippers insider. I don't think we'd even get to the check, please. Just be a quick exit out the door. But I do have some relationships within the organization. Kawhi Leonard, part of his deal with Steve Ballmer, beyond paying him a boatload of cash, Kawhi Leonard is allowed to do essentially whatever he wants to do. He can set his own practice schedule. He can work on the side with his team as much as he wants to. The whole goal is just be healthy come playoff time. And despite all of those concessions and giving him all of that latitude, you know the problem with Kawhi since he arrived in Southern California. I'm not diminishing. In fact, I am celebrating what he has done in the postseason in the past. Two-time NBA MVP in the finals. He has single-handedly put the Clippers in the position they're in right now, because beyond Kawhi when healthy, do you have any faith in this roster? And yes, if you want to give James Harden credit, he's accepted the role of being a playmaker. And if you really care about matchups, Zubats is the rare big man who can lean on Jokic, but nobody's going to slow the Joker down, as we saw again last night with another triple-double. Well, that's what he does every night, because he's a unicorn, averaging the triple-double. And if you want to dig a little bit deeper, they have good role players like Norman Powell. I've always been somebody supportive of Ty Lue. I think he's one of the elite coaches in the NBA. But beyond that long soliloquy, you don't have to be Dr. Naismith to figure out the Clippers are only in the mix if Kawhi can stay healthy, and I have no earthly idea if that's going to be the case. Because in all candor, they should be up 2-0. They absolutely gagged game one, blowing that 15-point lead. I mentioned all the turnovers, 20 of them, in fact, led directly to 29 points for a Nuggets team that just is not the same since they won that title, because Stan Kroenke got a little bit cheap when it came to key reserves. And I know we don't talk about guys like Jeff Green or Bruce Brown or KCP, although KCP has been part of the Magic being relevant. They're not going to go anywhere matching up with the Celtics, but it's not the same Denver roster. They are content to let the Joker do everything. You know what you're going to get out of Murray, and if you get something out of Aaron Gordon, that usually means the Nuggets are going to win. Well, if you're looking for that key stat in terms of the breakdown between Game 1 and Game 2, Joker, as mentioned, was his normal reliable self. Gordon in Game 1 for Denver, 25 points. Well, the Clippers played much better defense, held him to a much more human 14 points. So it should already be Clippers on top, 2-0. Not saying the series is done. In fact, I think it still goes 7, but the Clippers have demonstrated by virtue of what they've done on the floor, not just on the stat sheet, should have won game one, were mentally stout at the business end of that game last night, and Powell hits the big three, and then Kawhi makes the shot they need. Clippers are a sneaky good team in the West. I don't think anybody's touching the Thunder. If I'm going to be totally transparent, I think only three teams have a chance to win it all, and that's Cleveland, Boston, and OKC. Not much of a hot take there. I'm just looking at the top of the standings. But I am telling you, and maybe this is just me being a prisoner of the sprawl of the greater metropolitan Los Angeles area, or maybe just because I get the Clippers on my local cable package, this is a team that would not surprise me if they made it to the Western Conference Finals. A lot would have to happen between now and then, and we got plenty of time to stretch out and dissect it along the way. I'm Brian Weber, in for Rich, 844-204-7424. If you're not a Hoops fan, I got good news for you. We're going to pause the basketball conversation. We'll get back to it now in 40 minutes, tipping off hour number two, talking Thunder, talking Bucks with their positive injury development. Dame Lillard finally cleared to find a way to solve that Pacer dilemma and lose to them in the first round of the playoffs for the second consecutive year. And the sky is falling here in Southern California. We're going to talk a lot of Lakers and T-Wolves in advance of that critical game two. I will check the X feed coming up. You can hit me up on that platform. It's BW Weber. Weber with two B's straight ahead. The draft is heating up in terms of rumor and innuendo. Who's going to be the second quarterback taken once Cam Ward presumably goes to Tennessee at number one? Just getting warmed up on a very active Tuesday. Always a delight to keep the chair warm for Mr. Eisen. I'm Brian Weber, in for Rich on The Rich Eisen Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
even the safest drivers still encounter unsafe conditions. So it's important they do it in a safe vehicle. And Hyundai's offer available Class Executive Advanced Safety features to help keep you protected against the many challenges the road throws your way. Basically, in a Hyundai, you can drive as safely as possible and enjoy your journey in confidence and style. When you change lanes, signal check for traffic and enjoy the added safety of Hyundai's available blind spot view monitor. Constantly scan for dangers and take advantage of Hyundai's standard forward collision avoidance assist to help prevent accidents by alerting you of imminent collisions and automatically applying the brakes. Stay alert at all times and be thankful that Hyundai's standard driver attention warning system monitors your attention levels and can bring your focus back on the road. Safety is all about making the right decisions on the road and when selecting a vehicle. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for details.
This episode is brought to you by Chevy Silverado. When it's time for you to ditch the blacktop and head off-road, do it in a truck that says no to nothing. The Chevy Silverado Trail Boss. Get the rugged capability of its Z71 suspension and 2-inch factory lift. Plus, impressive torque and towing capacity thanks to an available Duramax 3-liter turbo diesel engine. Where other trucks call it quits, you'll just be getting started. Visit Chevy.com to learn more.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. Brian Weber back with you, and I'm proudly sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. 844-204-7424. I understand when you have a substitute teacher, you're not inclined to pick up the phone number. That is quite all right with me, but as a veteran fill-in host, I am a slave to the formatics. I'll do time and temperature later. Traffic and weather together. Your best option to get interactive is BW Weber. Weber with two B's wide open here in the first hour of the program. In fact, we will not have an outside voice unless you pick up the telephone until we get deep into hour number two of the show coming up at 1:20 Eastern time. In addition to the draft thoughts I'm about to share, we'll go in depth on the draft when we're joined by Nick Baumgartner of The Athletic. Of course, Rich getting set to host the NFL draft again, so I'll do my best to defend the brand equity of the program and give you a level of information and analysis you've become accustomed to here on the Football Show of Record. Now, let me preface everything about the draft that's about to be uttered by yours truly with this disclaimer. Nobody knows anything. In fact, that is an old adage. Here's a good word to throw out there, bromide. I'm not calling you bro or bro healer, it's a bromide. A turn of phrase, a figure of speech that was first credited to a very famous screenwriter here in Southern California, although I'm sure he worked remotely as well. But everything in L.A. is about showbiz, baby. My dry cleaner gave me a screenplay he was working on yesterday. William Goldman, screenwriter of many classic movies, including All the President's Men, Follow the Money, said about Hollywood, nobody knows anything in terms of the creative process. What movies get greenlit, what scripts get approved, what concepts studios get behind. So, as that serves as our backdrop, I think the only thing we do know for certain is that the Tennessee Titans, and there are some T's in there, remain on the clock, and after some early speculation back in February at the Combine that maybe they were open to doing business and maybe were not sold on Cam Ward, that has all gone away. So I would be shocked, not Casablanca shocked, but I would be stunned if Cam Ward does not go to Tennessee at number one, as he should. And if you have not heard of Cam that much, I would think by now, with the endless draft coverage, plus how he played at the U, you play for Miami, you're going to get all of the attention that comes with it. But in addition to his athletic ability, and let's face it, anybody be an upgrade over Will Levis, Cam Ward is a remarkable story. Let me give it to you in the synopsis. Started his career at Incarnate Word. I mentioned my Catholicism in the monologue, not to get deep on you, but Even I had never heard of Incarnate Word beyond Bible study back in the day. It's a tiny FCS school in the state of Texas, the only school that recruited him because he played in a wing T offense in high school and only averaged 12 passes per game. Showed up there, put up good numbers and positive tape, wound up at Washington State where he balled out. Although, if you're tucked away on the Palouse, and I can speak from experience, I was exiled to Pullman, Washington. If you're listening in Spokane, I miss you dearly, but 20 years ago, I spent 7 months on campus covering Cougar football and basketball. Thankfully, I got lucky. It was the Rose Bowl year. But when you play in Pullman, the bright lights are not shining on you. He parlayed that to Miami, and he's going to get life-altering money beyond the NIL deal that he got from the Canes last year coming up once he signs the deal with the Titans. After that, I clearly, and I'm not just trying to be Hacky Magoo, don't know more than you. Now, I'm never supposed to admit that. If you let the audience know that, I'll be a member of the audience. But in addition to all the research I do, I've already given you my bona fides. I'm a Clipper insider, after all. I'm Brian Weber, in for Rich Eisen, 844-204-7424, the number to call, or hit me up on the X platform. That is BW Weber, Weber with two Bs. I don't know what the Browns are going to do because part of me thinks the Browns don't know what they're going to do. Now, the larger thought about Cleveland is, when was the last time Cleveland made the right decision about anything? And I'm not doing the Deshaun Watson rant today because I'm in a good mood and there's no need to be that repetitive. But if we're thinking about having confidence in the Browns to come up with the right outcome, that feels like a reach. I mentioned the report in passing today. Friend of the program, Pete Schrager, has landed at ESPN, and he floated a notion, amplifying what we've heard about the Giants at number three for a long period of time now, that they're open for business, could trade down, and they'll address their quarterback need for a young prospect at some point, maybe in the second round. Apparently, according to Peter, who's well-sourced, that now goes for the Browns as well in terms of, if somebody wants to come up to get Shedeur Sanders, or you pick the other quarterback that is in vogue, and it comes down to two names, either Jackson Dart, who I'll tell you more about in a second, or Tyler Shuck is how it's pronounced. You should probably know that by now, but it's my job just to make sure we get all the particulars aligned. Let's just play this out to its logical conclusion, because I think this is all spin and a psyop, if I'm going to get deep, like a Robert Ludlum novel, another contemporary messaging point for your fill-in host here. This is all spin. This is all Cleveland, and to a lesser degree, the New York Football Giants say, well, we're not totally in love with what we could do here. Make us the offer that we can't refuse and come up, and you can either take Travis Hunter, who's the best player in this draft based on his college resume. He's not going to play two ways in the NFL on a full-time basis because nobody has, dating back to Chuck Bednarik 1,000 years ago for the Philadelphia Eagles. I think he's going to be premier corner and be allowed to try to be a difference maker at wide receiver, because why would you not try to leverage his amazing athletic ability? And also, you want to keep him engaged because clearly he believes, like Shohei Ohtani, having that kind of versatility is a superpower. But let's just play it out. I think Cleveland is bluffing or just looking to drive up the price for the number two overall pick. I think Cleveland winds up with Travis Hunter. And after all of the hand-wringing and the theorizing and the speculation about the Giants, I think for once they do the astute thing and they take Abdul Carter at number three. Because we know this for a fact, because the Giants were, in a very giant-like fashion, so lacking of an understanding of how the modern world works that they signed up for that off-season edition of Hard Knocks, which was a gift to all of us in the content business and a good watch just as a fan. We know from John Mara mumbling about, this was before Saquon Barkley left for the division rival Philadelphia Eagles and won the Super Bowl because of Saquon, in large measure. You had John Mara mumbling to himself about not getting a good night's sleep, and then his team went out and only won three games. if we're thinking about the job security of both GM Joe Shane and head coach Brian Daboll, they need a massive improvement now. Now, the only positive for them is when you start at the bottom with three wins, you go to seven and it feels life-changing. And the best way to get there is go out and get the best player on the board. And I think it's going to be Abdul Carter, who, not to give you the lazy analysis, the Micah Parsons comp, I think, is legit beyond the fact that they both went to Penn State. He's got that kind of game-wrecking ability coming off the edge. I know about the injury concerns, but that's for the Giants to check out, or whoever drafts him, make sure the medicals are clean. So I think after this elaborate dance we're going through, when we get to Rich giving the picks from Green Bay on Thursday night, it's going to go as we expect. Cam Ward, number one to Tennessee. Cleveland at number two will take Travis Hunter. Carter to the Giants at number three, unless the Giants are, and this would also make a ton of sense, but when do they do anything logical or rational in the modern era? Joe Judge, thankfully, is not walking through that door. Giants, the argument can be made, and it's one I endorse, should trade down. They have so many needs. Get as much draft capital as you can, and then maybe they play the hypothetical game of what they could still do if they start the downward trajectory and consider, you pick it. You got the Raiders behind them at six. You got the Panthers at eight. You got the Saints at nine. Saints now suddenly in the market for a quarterback after the very weird case of Derek Carr. And, oh, by the way, out of Caddyshack, my shoulder hurts. That changes everything for the Saints. The Saints have not drafted a quarterback in the first round since Archie Manning. It's been a minute. But this is all hinging on what the Giants do at number three. And it comes down to the eye test and the beauty contest that is the NFL draft. How do these teams evaluate the quarterbacks after Cam Ward? I saw Shador Sanders play every meaningful down of his run at Colorado because I'm based on the West Coast. I like his body of work. We'll skip the ludicrous notion of his number being retired. Again, I'm trying to stay upbeat. The issue for Shador would be he takes way too many sacks. He hangs onto the ball, I think, as a byproduct of his confidence in himself. If you're not mastering that internal clock on the college level and you try in the NFL, you're dead man walking, plus he's not that athletic. So I'm not in love with Shador Sanders. I'm not bashing him. I certainly could see him going somewhere in the first round. But if he slides, that would not be a surprise in any way. But at the same time, I can't tell you that I believe Jackson Dart will be fitted for a gold jacket anytime soon. Now, of course, that's absolutely delusional. These teams are just looking for a serviceable frontline starter who has the potential to become a franchise quarterback. From what I saw out of Dart, remember, he started his career here in Southern California at USC. He can play a pro-style offense. The knock on him is he's an RPO guy playing for Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss. I think Dart has all the tangibles you're looking for and is going to be a solid starter in the NFL for 5 to 7 years. I saw a lot of Tyler Shuck because he played a lot of football at a lot of different places. Remember, he's 25 years old. This is Brandon Whedon without the baseball component all over again because of the COVID years. People love his size, 6'5", big arm. Issue has been he's had a series of injuries in the past, and he's 25 years old. But what do we say about Bo Nix with all the questions he had coming out of Oregon? I think he answered them in a very positive way last year for the Broncos. It comes down to the right fit. But those are the names you're going to hear as we get closer to the draft with Rich and the fellows back with you tomorrow, and then all of the festivities on NFL Network with Rich handling the hosting duties one more time. As the program rolls along, I'll give you my thoughts on Jalen Milroe. I think Kyle McCord, the Ohio State transfer to Syracuse, where he put up huge numbers last year for the Orange, is being overlooked. But we get back to the central premise every year when we get to the draft. Remember, nobody knows anything. I'm Brian Weber, in for Rich, 844-204-7424, the number to call. You can chop it up on social media. Hit me up on the X platform. That's BW Weber. Weber with two B's. 20 minutes, we get back to the NBA. Is it a stretch to call it must-win for the Lakers heading into Game 2 against the Timberwolves after Minnesota beat them down in Game 1 and changing the entire dynamic of that series? That is coming up straight ahead.
If fashion is your thing, eBay is it. eBay's where I find all my favorites, from handbags to iconic streetwear, all authenticated. For real. This time, a little Supreme, some Gucci. I even have that vintage Prada on my watch list. That's why eBay's my go-to for all my go-tos. Yeah, eBay. The place for new, pre-loved, vintage, and rare fashion. eBay. Things people love.
Four chefs, 24 culinary showdowns for 24 hours straight. Which chef will outcook, outpace, outlast the competition?
No chef
escapes the clock. Season premiere 24 and 24, Last Chef Standing, Sunday, April 27th at 8. See it first on Food Network. Stream next day on Max.
Brian Weber back with you. Always a delight to keep the chair warm and do my best to defend the brand that Rich Eisen has worked so hard to build. 844-204-7424, the number to call. Or you can get at me on social media. Let's be polite. You barely know me. I'm just a fill-in guy. It's B.W. Weber, Weber with two B's. A reminder, don't let the urge to sing along to that catchy tune distract you from that truck drifting towards your lane or that lane-splitting biker creeping up beside you. Fortunately, every Hyundai offers available class-exclusive and advanced safety features that can alert you to potential dangers around you. And Hyundai has over 130 IIHS top safety awards since 2006 because Hyundai is always working to ensure the road doesn't get you. IIHS Top Safety Awards include Top Safety Pick and Top Safety Pick Awards to Hyundai vehicles from 2006 to 2025. Let's hit on some quarterback news around the NFL, if I'm saying news. In terms of actual developments, of course, that has nothing to do with Aaron Rodgers because he is the Hamlet of football. Again, another literary reference. There's no way I'm coming back on Memorial Day. He cannot decide what he wants to do. I think part of that is he loves the attention. So let's start with the quote-unquote news first. Brock Purdy showed up. Why is that a development? His mere presence at OTAs for the San Francisco 49ers? Well, it's a positive sign that progress is being made on the contract extension that Purdy and the Niners are working on. Long-time football journalist and somebody who knows the San Francisco sports scene very well. In fact, another NFL Network alum, Mike Silver, now working for The Athletic, reported yesterday some progress, quote-unquote, has been made between the two sides. And the initial indication is it's going to be north of $50 million a year. Now, I'm not going to get into the deserve game. You deserve what somebody is willing to pay you. Do I think Brock Purdy is, quote-unquote, worth $50 million? I don't necessarily, but it's what the market will bear. Because everybody who is a functioning quarterback, and that's what he has been, I think largely a system guy, and another reflection that Kyle Shanahan can coach up anybody, given how well he works with quarterbacks. Now, we're not getting into his clock management in critical situations in the Super Bowl, but just from the standpoint of being a quote-unquote quarterback whisperer, everybody who works with Kyle gets better, and Purdy fits that system perfectly. Now, if you want to defend him more than I am, because it sounds like I'm bashing him, remember, the Niners got decimated by injuries last year, so it's much more fair to evaluate him based on will Christian McCaffrey be available, and the other playmakers that put that team in position to get to the Super Bowl on a handful of occasions. It seems odd to say somebody who was the last pick in the draft is going to get over $50 million, but that's relatively a bargain when you think that, say, Dak Prescott's getting 60. We could do the whole list of Trevor Lawrence and Tua Tagovailoa. If the number is in the low 50s, Purdy feels good about himself. The Niners get him at a quote-unquote relative discount, and then we find out more what he can do next year as the Niners remain a team in flux. What about Aaron Rodgers? Oh, I've heard that conspiracy. Rodgers is waiting, and Aaron Rodgers and a conspiracy. Who would ever link those two things together? Rodgers is waiting in part because there might be a stalemate in San Francisco. Purdy might play hardball. The Niners say thanks, no thanks. Also, you got another year left on that rookie deal, Mr. Irrelevant. And they go to Aaron Rodgers. Never believed it for a second, but I will take it behind the curtain. Everybody in the offseason in the NFL is looking for things to talk about. And because Aaron Rodgers is this blank canvas, because he won't make a decision, and he goes on the Pat McAfee show and still talks about COVID and other outlandish things, he can be whoever you want him to be. So cross the Niners off, which was never going to happen. I think, and this is not sexy analysis, it's still Pittsburgh or retirement. Unless J.J. McCarthy, with OTAs going on in Minnesota, shows signs he's not 100% coming back from the knee injury that wiped out what should have been his rookie year, Minnesota is not interested in Aaron Rodgers, as much as he might be interested in them because he wants his potential last season to have championship implications. It's not going to be that way in Pittsburgh, but if he wants to play, he needs somewhere to suit up. So we'll get through the draft. What happens if the Steelers take Shedeur Sanders at number 21? What's the implication for Aaron Rodgers? I don't know that Shedeur's ready to play right now. You could have Aaron in there as a placeholder for a team that's not going anywhere, as we saw last year with Russ. I don't think Aaron is a substantial upgrade over Russell Wilson in any way. Hour number two coming up. Do the Lakers have to win tonight? We'll address that straight ahead on The Rich Eisen Show.
NBA veteran Jim Jackson takes you on the court.
You get a chance to dig into my 14-year career in the NBA and also get the input from the people that will be joining, Charles Barkley.
I'm excited to be on your podcast, man. It's an honor.
Spike Lee, entrepreneur, filmmaker, Academy Award winner.
Knicks fans. So,
now, you see, I got you. But also how sports brings life, passion, music, all of this together.
The Jim Jackson Show, part of the Rich Eisen Podcast Network. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.